Jim. Okay. And the other kilo juice. Okay, how about any other kilos?
Kilo Charlie 2, Victor Romeo Yankee. This is Jim. Over.
Hi, Jim. Do you have a question, comment, both, none of the above?
Question.
Okie doke. We'll post your question momentarily. Alrighty. Any other kilos? Any flavor?
UL Bravo 3, Papa Quebec Papa. Harry currently in Fort Lee with no questions for the net, just here supporting him.
Hey, Harry. Very good. KB3 PQP. Welcome aboard. And let's see, any other kilos?
KC2SQP Stewart with a question.
Hi, Stewart. Welcome aboard. I know that you have a question. Any other kilos? Okay, how about Whiskey Station? Okay, no Whiskey Station tonight. How about the November stations? Please call K2BAR.
K2BAR? This is Enzo Rolio. One question.
Okay, I know there are two stations, N2OEL, good evening Noel, with one question, I got that, and the other station was NS2K. Jim, what is your status, and good evening?
Good evening, no traffic at this point.
Okay, very good, welcome aboard. Any other Novembers? Okay, any other call signs or late check-ins, please call K2BAR.
AJ4WD.
What? Okay, I think I have two check-ins. AJ4WD, do you have a question or comment for the net tonight?
No question or comment at this time.
Okay, Rachel, very fine. And who was the other station who doubled with Rachel before? Okay, was there another station wishing to get into the net?
This is K2DFL. David, no questions or comments, and I'm in my car, so I might pop in the house in a little bit.
Okay, very good, David. Good evening to you. I want to make another call for the station who was there before. May or may not have the right tone. I'm going to try to listen on the input. Please call K2BAR. Okay, any other stations wishing to check into the net? Alrighty, well then we'll leave it alone at that. So, K2ZO, your question, sir, please call. K2BAR with your question.
K2BAR. This is K2ZO. A while back we got into a discussion on here and a couple of the other nuts on building the offset attenuator for box hunting. And I was asked again on the 450 net whether I had done anything on it, and I remember I had been working with Noel who had some info, and I just wanted to ask, is one, has anybody built the kit? Now there were a couple of them, and I wonder if anybody has built any of the kits, and if they did they recommend one over the other? Figure I'd save some time if I could find out if there's more anybody that's got one working. And I did see one of them working at one of the presentations, and I was quite surprised at how accurate it was and how it would able to drop the sensitivity way down by changing the injection level into the mixer. So, as I said, I don't know of anybody in the Farah group that has come out on the fox hunt with one, but certainly our fox hunts haven't been that difficult recently. But anyway, it'd be fun to go ahead and build one in case we really get a fox we can't find. Back to that. This is K2ZO.
Well, that is a good question. The offset attenuators. Has anyone built one or gotten started or thought about it or anything? Have a view on the recommendation that Jim's looking for?
Please call K2B AR. And K2B AR. From KB3 PQP. Go ahead, Harry. Well, some 15 or 20 years ago, I built one out of the ARRL antenna handbook. It was a very simple slide switch device with a bunch of resistors, and you put whatever you wanted on for antenna connections, be it C connectors, PL259s, N connectors, whatever you felt like. I happened to put BNC connectors on mine because I was using it for something other than the ham radio. The darn thing worked perfectly. I mean, it's just nowadays you can't just run the Radio Shack and buy the slide switches anymore. They used to sell them in a package. And I think you got like 10 of them for like $3. They don't have them anymore. So you have to go through DigiKey or one of the other places. And basically you built this thing inside of this mocked-up box that was actually made out of double-sided printed circuit material. I tell you, the thing worked awesome. I wish I knew it. If I can find it, I will bring it to the next kit night, and everybody can take a look at it. It was very, very simple to build. Took me, I don't know, maybe 4 hours to build it. I mean, because you had to fabricate everything yourself. But it was a really sweet little device. Back to that. Anybody else? Okay, Jim, back to you.
Okay. K2BAR. K2ZO. Alrighty. Well, the... I didn't get his call. But the device the gentleman just said, mentioned is the device that we're presently using, a simple attenuator. However, if you are holding your handy talkie and you are really close to a hidden transmitter, which is putting out a few milliwatts, just that strength of RF will completely overload the antenna and any direction capability you may have with it. So the whole idea is to use a offset attenuator, which takes and heterodynes the incoming signal. And therefore, you've got a mixer that you can inject the signal into. And that way you can adjust the level much, much greater. I mean, a factor of 100 times more than you could with just a simple switched-in attenuator. Because the problem is you can't get and shield something like that that well. Even though you build it in the shielded box, when you are right up on top of something with a plastic radio, don't work. So that's the whole idea of this thing. And there have been a number of them described. Some of them use a small commercial mixer and then go ahead and build a board up from that. So that's what I'm looking at. And unfortunately, I lost the information I did have on it. So we'll have to go do a search on the Internet. So that's the idea, and that's what we're looking for right now. Back to that, K2ZO.
AJ4WG, comment?
Hey, Rachel.
Jim, I have a simple circuit. Uses a 2 megahertz crystal. So what you're doing is you're putting in a frequency that's off by 2 megahertz from the Fox's frequency, and then using a potentiometer, you're slightly adjusting it to come in and grab the signal.
Rachel.
Yeah, well, that's the exact type thing we're talking about, Rachel, the offset attenuator, which actually is a mixer. And you are adjusting the injection level into the mixer to adjust the gain. And I don't know if you still have that circuit. I know we discussed it a while back on here. And I had a circuit. Someone had sent me something, and I still have it. I just don't know what I called it. So I'll have to start scratching my memory here again. Back to that.
I think that's the circuit I sent you.
But it sounds marvelous because, you know, if you think about it, and I had a tough time wrapping my brain around it initially because of the way people were discussing it. And all of a sudden I said, wait, it's a close-in signal that's degrading my receiver performance.
it's desensing my receiver on the desired frequency. So therefore, on the desired frequency, I'll have the ability to sort out where this thing is because I've got, you know, more attenuation. And it's marvelous. Marvelous, marvelous. You degrade the whole receiver circuit with that thing. So I think it works out pretty well. So anyway, very, very nice. Anyway, Jim, you have any more comments?
Nope, not any more than that. I'm right now looking on my computer to see if I can find that circuit that Rachel did send to me. Okay, thank you. K2ZO.
Well, there you go. Okay, Rachel, you have any follow-up?
I'll look to see if I can find the schematic in email and resend it, and we can probably discuss it and present it at one of the case nights.
Okie doke. Anybody else?
K2AMI with a quick search on Google. Just type in offset attenuator project, and there's a couple of them there, very, very nice. Some that I'm looking at one that uses a 4 megahertz crystal and a handful of parts, and does not require a purchase of a kit at all. It's you need a 5,000 ohm pot and a couple of diodes and a few resistors, and away you go. So just give a Google search on offset attenuator projects.
That's good. Anybody else?
K2CC checking in. Dave, no question, no comment.
Okay, Dave. Very good. And Tony, will you have some comments later?
Could have a couple comments. If you don't make it too late, yes. 10 o'clock is my shutdown time.
I'll put you in a rotation a little quicker, no problem. All right. Very good. Anybody else want to have any comments on the offset attenuator?
KB3PQP, well, it's just a quick question.
Go ahead, Ari.
Does this require connection internal to the radio, or you can just hook it up to the antenna? I missed that.
Outside, it's external.
Yeah, okay. When I get home, I will Google search that and take a look at that. Sounds like an interesting item.
Very good. Anybody else?
Yeah, back to that. KB3PQP.
Alrighty, very good. Alright, our next question comes from Jim, KC2BRY. Yeah, Jim, K2BAR.
Yes, good evening. Question I had, they have on a ham fest this Saturday, and I was interested in possibly purchasing an amplifier, and I don't know if it'll work or not, but I have a 100 watt HF radio here, and I was wondering if I could boost that up with an amplifier that I could buy there, and what would I need, and what kind of money are we talking about?
Okay, I think the way we're going to handle that question, that's a really good question, that's going to go on for a little bit, is to let, I guess, Jim, or Tony, I'm not sure who, well, why don't we start with Jim, talk about Saturday's Barra Hamfest, since that's our club, and this is the Baronet. K2ZO, and possibly K2MI to follow, K2BAR. Let's talk about the Hamfest, and let's answer Jim's question after that.
Okay, K2BAR, this is K2ZO. Okay, Jim. Yeah, I'm sure you might find one. Remember, your HF radio is single sideband, so it requires a linear amplifier, as you're going to find most of the ones for HF are. I would recommend you, if you get a chance, Google search and look at the Ameritron, something like an AL-80B. That uses a single 3500 tube, puts out 1,000 watts. It doesn't really pay you to just double or triple the power. In other words, if you got 100 watts, don't do 300 watts because there'll be so little difference, no one will even notice the difference. Remember, it's all logarithmic, so where you have to double your power just to change it to, you know, a half an S unit on the other side for someone to receive it. After you go through the kilowatt one, well, then you can go to 2 kilowatts. Actually, the 1,500 watts out is the max allowed by law. But 1,000 out is fine. 900 watts, you can work the world with that. But, you know, we're talking something that's going to cost you a grand, easy. So that's about it. Back to net, K2ZO.
So, Jim, are you suggesting that we not get an amplifier that puts out 600 watts?
Well, you're not going to see that much difference if you think about it. If you got 100 watts and you go to, you know, 600 watts, it'll make you some, but there are not too many 600-watt amplifiers. And since he's my neighbor, I don't want him to buy a solid-state amplifier.
No quadras or PW1s, huh? Oh, dear me. All right. So, Tony, why don't you talk about what Saturday is?
This is our the Bergen Amateur Radio Association's twice a year Hamfest. We have one now on the Saturday before Memorial Day, and that's what's coming up now. I understand the weather should be just about perfect. There should be some overcast, but no sign of rain. Temperatures will be in the 70s. You can't ask for better conditions. There'll be coffee. If you can't afford any equipment, there'll be coffee and hot dogs and hamburgers supplied by the Fairlawn Amateur Radio Club. But there'll be lots of equipment there. And what you want to do, the other Jim there who's looking for an amplifier, is look around for some used amplifiers, but don't be bashful and ask the guy for his name or his call sign or his phone number or his address if you do purchase one. Because if it turns out to be a complete bomb or doesn't work, you may want to argue with him or look for refunds. Hamfests are buyer beware operations. You don't expect to get something absolutely perfect at a hamfest unless you buy it new from a record dealer. You can spend anywhere from about $500 to $1,000 for a decent hamfest. Much under $500, it'll probably be a very old multiple tube amplifier, which is not the highest desirable type of amplifier. Some amplifier with a 3-500 would be a great amplifier. And again, the Hamfest is Saturday. Admission for non-Barra members who are not working is only $5. If you're going to come there and sell some stuff, you get 2 parking spaces for $15. If it rains, you can go inside and get 2 tables for $15. Should be a lot of fun. We've been running about 300 visitors and about 80 vendors, which is a pretty nice size Hamfest. Get there early. Don't come at 1 o'clock. You'll miss everything. You got to get there somewhere around 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning if you want to get a good choice of merchandise. People start buying stuff at 7 o'clock, but 8 o'clock is legitimate time, and it's like between 8 and 9 is the peak time. By 10 o'clock, it already starts to fall off. So come on down. There also will be VE testing if you want to upgrade your license. Let me turn it back to the net control.
Okay, do we want to give a little details to where this thing is?
Jim shouldn't have any problems, but it's in Washington Township at the Westwood Junior and Senior High School on Ridgewood Road. I think the number is 710 Ridgewood Road, but it's between Pascack Road and Forest Avenue. Pascack Road and Forest Avenue. And Pascack Road is the road that runs past the Bakari Grill. You guys have been out checking out local restaurants and places to watering holes that are interesting. The Bakari Grill is on the same street as the school, is and you will find that heading east through the Pocari Grill would bring you to the Westwood High School.
Okay.
Very good. That's what I wanted to get across.
And FYI, Jim is the chairman of this event for, oh, these many, many decades. Of either one or two campus a year as it grew. And he'll be there holding forth, I'm sure, from the wee hours of the morning when, you know, people call up and say, what? It's not an auction? No, just kidding. Anyway. Alrighty. So, to PC2BRY's question, I think we added that. Does anybody want to talk about amplifiers, a favorite amplifier, things like that? That might be useful. But before we answer that context, Jim, what radio are you planning to use and what kind of antenna are you planning to use with this amp that is to be designated and purchased?
Using a Yaesu SD450 100 watt, and I have a LAN antenna up on my chimney, and it works pretty well, but I get a lot of propagation all the way down to Florida and New Mexico and Texas, but I can't go north. I can't go north to New York for some reason, and I figure to boost up my power a little bit.
Yeah, it'd be nice if the sunspots would cooperate too, but I understand. Okay, very good. Anybody have any questions, comments, suggestions to Jim about using a, or getting an amp? For his FT-450.
Yes, and to OEL.
And to OEL. Go ahead, Noel.
Well, when I was looking for one, I saw this really nice one, and I went over and badgered Mr. K2ZO, said it uses ceramic tubes. When they go, it'll cost you $200 a piece to replace them. Get one with a 3.5, whatever heck, I don't know what it is. Yeah. So I wound up buying a Heath amplifier, SD1000, which I'm very happy with. One tube, which was good. And Jim actually brought it in for a two-tone demonstration at the Barra meeting, and we were getting 800 sideband, 600 CW out of it. And I don't remember what his info was. It was like 60 watts, something like that. Back to that, this is NTOIL.
Okay, anybody else?
Okay, 2ZC.
Go ahead, Dave.
Yes, good evening, everybody. This is Kilo 2 Zulu Charlie. I just purchased an amplifier recently, the Ameritron AL-572. And my opinion, I think, not using it too much, but I use it in one contest, and I think amplifier is way overrated, you know, unless you really have a great antenna system to use with it. I was making contacts in, I forget what contest it was. It was just North America and South America. The exchange was just NA or SA, and it was mainly with like Argentina stations, Chile, Brazil, and such. And I was asked for more fills when I was using the amp than when I wasn't. I was seemed to be making better contacts on 100 watts than I was on using a kilowatt, and I did have a delay in, I knew what I had to do to get a clean signal. I was monitoring the signal, so I know I was putting out a clean signal, so I don't know. I think it's just a matter of conditions, I think, matter more than how much power you're running. So that's just my opinion. I feel like I could have saved about $1,600 and put it probably towards a better antenna than towards the amplifier. Back to that, this is K2ZC.
Okie doke. Very good. Anybody else? point, amplifiers are good, but if your antenna stinks, you know, that's a problem. Because, you know, if you don't have a, you know, you don't have to have a super antenna, but if your antenna's not radiating and not hearing properly, but if you're radiating properly or optimally, then you're going to spend a lot of money in generating atmospheric heat and not a lot of signal that could be useful. So you do want to give that some due consideration. In any case, anybody else have any thoughts on the subject?
KF2ID.
Hey, Mr. Ben, how are you? KF2ID, K2BR.
I don't have any high power amplifiers, but just listening to Jim's comment initially, I got a gut feeling that perhaps his lead line to his present antenna may not be able to take the 1KW. If you're running 59, RG59 or something like that, you've got to upgrade that feed line. Otherwise, you might get a lot of pretty arcs and smoke. That's KF2ID.
So what is your feed line again, Jim? AC2VRY, K2BR. Alrighty. I don't know what happened there, but we'll come back to them, I guess. Anybody else have any comments about amplifiers and antennas and such?
Good. KB3BQP here. No comments, but I'd like to secure from that, please.
Understood. Take care, Harry. KB3BQP, W2TTTK2BAR. Go ahead. 7-3. Jim, VRY, are you back?
Still here.
Okay, so we are asking you about your antenna situation.
Antenna works fine. I have the radio I have has a built-in tuner, which works fine, and I get great contacts over in Western Europe and down to Puerto Rico and like that. But a little bit of trouble getting some northern contact. Made one in Canada once, but that's about it. You know, I just thought I'd boost my power a little bit and increase my opportunities over.
Okay, well, you've heard a couple of different points, so if your antennas are working, it's fine. But what kind of feed line do you have?
Yeah, honestly, a little bit green with this stuff. Like I said, I'm new with this hobby. But it all came from KJI, so I'm sure he gave me the right stuff.
Okay, let me try it differently. Is the coax a little bigger than a half inch or a little bigger than 3/8?
It's bigger than 3/8.
Okay, then to Ben's point, you may find yourself a little bit of heating. Whatever amplifier you get, you're going to need something that's going to have a tuner or be able to load your antenna because you no longer have the use of your internal antenna tuner. So that's another potential expense you have to think about, is that you're going to need a tuner that's capable of handling in excess of your output power of your new amplifier.
Okay, I got that. Now you're saying I also have to increase the size of my coax? Over.
Well, not necessarily. If things are reasonably well tuned up and there's nothing odd about the way it's, you know, it's set up, you probably will be all right. You know, is this like a multi-band dipole that you bought from KJI?
Yeah, it's a, I guess it's about 36 feet long or so. It's attached to the chimney, and it covers all the bands. Over.
Okay. One thought you might want to try is see how well you load up with your FT450 with the tuner not engaged. In other words, try all your favorite frequencies on various bands and see what the SWR is and see how your power output is, or is your transmitter folding back because the SWR is not great without the use of the internal tuner, okay? that'll give you a hint as to how resonant the vertical is, you know, on various bands.
Well, Bennett K12K was over here, brought some equipment over and tested the SDR, SWR, and everything is working fine. It's just, like I said, I just want to broaden my experience with this radio. It's not that it's not working. It's just that I want to reach out a little further. Over.
Well, that's fine. Yeah. Assuming that, the antenna is reasonably resonant, then the most adventurous thing you may have to do, if you get an amplifier and perhaps a tuner for that amplifier, is to perhaps upgrade your coax. But for the moment, it should be fine. You can start with what you got and see where it goes.
Comment.
Good comment.
He's using RG8X. RG8X is good for 1,000 watts. So, Jim, when you think about what you're doing, you're taking the output out of your radio, your 100-watt radio, and driving it into the input of the amplifier, a linear amplifier, so that the output is just the same as your input, except that there's more of it. In other words, it's linear. Whatever the input does, the output does, only at a much higher power level. So that's where the linear amplifier comes in. However, since the antenna tuner is built into the radio, and your RF is going to be coming out of the amplifier, as I mentioned, if you do have an antenna that needs a tuner, then you would have to have a bigger tuner after the amplifier. Now, the antenna that you have may be fine. I don't know whether you really use your tuner with your antenna. Some of us do, some of us don't. Some of us only use the antenna tuner when we kind of move off frequency or something. But if indeed you do, you'll have to make arrangements to do it with an amplifier. And that's what, some of the things you got to think about. It's not just the one box. You may need to invest in a couple. Also, the antenna that you have, does it have the traps on it, Jim? Go ahead.
When you say traps, what do you mean?
A circuitry to isolate the circuit. In other words, is it a piece of wire coming out from the center where it's fed, or are there little tuned circuits out there, little shielded boxes?
One wire comes down the center and has a coupling on it, and I connect my coax to it. Over.
What kind of an antenna is it?
It's a LAN.
Oh, I have no idea. What that is. that doesn't ring a bell to me.
LAN?
Whether it's a dipole or infed something or whatever. All right, we'll figure it out. But that's the things you have to do and think about if you're going to use an amplifier. Also, you have to remember now, you're going to have a thing that's going to suck a little power out of the wall, so the circuit that you have, you've got to think about there also. Back to that, K2Z.
Okay, Jim, you square?
Very enlightening, thank you.
We do try to do that. That is one of the objectives of this net. Alrighty, let's see. Tony, do you have any further announcements?
Only that beyond the ham test, we do have the next para meeting on June the 6th. The first Sunday in June, and then the week after that, the next fair of Barrow Participation Devices is on June 12th and 13th, where we have a VHF contest. And then 2 weeks after that, we have the Barrow Field Day, which will be held over at the Community Services Building parking lot, which is across the street from the old hospital, the Bergen Regional Hospital. The month of June coming up now, starting with our ham fest this weekend, going to the Barra meeting on June the 6th, going then to the VHF contest up in Orangetown, and then over to the Barra flea market, Barra Field Day, which is a national event, and Barra always likes to participate and do good a score as he possibly can. So if that would cover what you had in mind, I think that would get you started there, Gordon.
Okie dokie. Anybody have any questions about those things? Okay, Tony, thank you. And I have a question, actually, regarding one of those things. Regarding field day, what's going to be plan B for a tower, here that the municipality of Paramus is somewhat preempting its use?
We have plenty of towers in the garage. We probably will put up a Rhone 25 tower with the erecting system that we've used before. Tony's non-patented antenna erecting system. And that one tower will hold the tri-bander, and we might put up a second tower for 6 meters if all time and weather conditions permit. But definitely, if we don't get the Paramus tower or the county tower, we will be getting our own tower outside the garage and putting it up. So it should be no problem.
Excellent. I kind of figured that, but people have been asking, so I figured let me bait the question a little bit. Alrighty, very good. That's very good. Let's see. Before we continue, are there any other check-ins for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association TechNet? Any stations welcome to join? Please call K2BAR. Alrighty, our next question is from Stuart, KC2SQP. Stuart, rock and roll, K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is K2SQP. What I want to know is 2 weeks ago I tried to get you guys on Echolink. I was down in Charlotte, North Carolina. I did hear you, but I didn't know how to hit the transmit button on this old computer my son-in-law had. And I just wondered if you guys heard me. Back to Nick.
We did, and if I recall, the push-to-talk button is a push-on, push-off of the space bar. So next time you are on Echolink, tap the space bar. You'll notice the little TX icon came up. And if you hit it again, it'll turn off. It'll go green. And the receive light will come on the screen. So, in fact, we so much as said so, but we realized that you might have gotten out of sync with us and had, gotten into an odd condition. At the same time, we were giving you the information. But, we did hear you. However briefly, we did hear you.
Thank you very much. Now I know how to operate it. Use the space bar. Thank you. Back to Nick.
Yeah, just a reminder, it's not a push-to-talk switch. It's a touch to transmit and a touch to receive, okay?
10-4.
Okay, very good. Yeah, if stations wish to access this net via Echolink, then please feel free to do so. The call sign is K2 Foxtrot Juliet dash L. K2 Kilo 2 Foxtrot Juliet dash L as in Lima. And that's the station call sign that's used for the Echolink that's associated with the K2 ETN repeater, which is this repeater right here. Okay, I have two more questions pending, one from Noel, and actually one just kind of sort of an announcement kind of thing from me. So let's go to Noel's question first. And 2OEL, K2BAR.
Well, actually I got two questions, completely different topics, so I'll give you the first one. If you go into Google and put in TRI-FUEL portable generator. Yamaha has one that runs on LP gas, street gas. Instead of using the barbecue, you can plug in your generator and gasoline. That would be really nice for emergencies because usually the gas supply doesn't go. And a little bit more pricey. One I was looking at actually was $24, but it included a remote start, wireless, up to 100 feet.
last night. Let me ask a question. Well, changing modes, what's involved?
I'm not sure. The thing on YouTube shows the guy running off a propane cylinder. He shows it by starting the drill. Then he shuts off the propane tank and the generator stops. He gets out a gas can and pours in the gas and starts it up again. So there can't be too much involved.
Yeah, clearly not. All right. That's pretty cool. Anybody have any experience with tri-fuel generators that include liquid propane, natural gas, and conventional gasoline? Alrighty. Well, and I guess we're a little blank for that, but it is a interesting way to do business, to say the least. And, oh, dear me. I have a generator or two, so I'm good, but I'll tell you, if I was looking at it from scratch, I might consider that. My current generator is gasoline. It's got 8 kW, and I have a smaller one as well. But not it was near as nice as the Honda EU 2000 that Jim Jackson has, which I particularly like because it's more self-contained, a little safer, and a whole lot quieter. It really is amazing how close you can operate that. In any case, my big generator is kind of like the one that Barra has and the other one that Jim has, which are these big old honking things they really rock and roll, but they provide a lot of wattage and many Boku amps, as I like to call it. Anyway, anybody else have any questions about generators?
One more.
I was going to give it back to you anyway. All right, go ahead.
Well, the other one I was looking at the Honda dealer was the EU 2000 Companion. As you know, there's a conversion. You can take two of the normal ones and put this box and plug it into both of them and get 4,000 watts out. Well, what the Companion does is it does away with the box and sort of fills it in. And instead of having a couple of the 20-amp outlets, it has that plus one of the ones for like a 30-amp RV connection, which I believe it might be the Swiss box, but I don't remember for sure. But anyway, it's all there. You would take this Companion one, take the three wires, there's a ground and two power wires, and plug it into Jim's, and bingo, you would have 4,000 watts. Back to you.
Well, that's very nice. So you can essentially load shift or load share the output of two generators, which, consider this, let's say you need to take down, it has another advantage too, let's say you need to take down a generator to let it cool and refuel. You can do that, albeit with reduced output, but still keep essential elements moving and running. So there's a lot of benefit to that as well. Very nice, Noel. Very nice. Anybody seen the EU 2000 or any of its accessories or the Companion as Noel has mentioned? How about any other observations about the use of a generator? Okay, let me offer a couple of thoughts here, since I do have some opinions. Number one, you want to make sure the regulation is really, really good, especially for something as obnoxious as CW or single sideband. You want to make sure that the frequency stability is reasonably good as well, because otherwise, bad things happen, to put it politely. You also want to make sure that if your generator really isn't capable of sustaining your load, that you might consider running something through a power supply off to a battery and then charge the battery and then run off the battery, essentially, while continuing to recharge it. Just run a really clean 12-volt power supply as the charger circuit. So, I mean, that's another thing you can do if you're running 100-watt level radios. You can kind of buffer your, you can buffer your generator capacity and run with a smaller generator if you have a battery to help you along on each rig, along with its own discrete power supply. That's another way of going about it, smoothing out the demand curve, if you will, for the generator. Let's see. Have I provoked anybody else to want to say something? This is K2BAR. All righty. Well, I guess that's it for that topic. Noel, back to you.
Okay, well, the reason I was thinking of this is, you know, during these power failures, you might not have a chance to run out and buy a couple cans of gasoline. Well, in my back, I have a natural gas barbecue, and it just occurred to me, hey, just walk out to the backyard, plug it in instead of the barbecue, and away you go. The other thing is, some generators sit around for quite a period of time not being used. If you have gas in it, the gas has a tendency to change, congeal, go bad, plug up the carburetor, whatever. But propane can be stored for 20 years, and when you open the container, it's as good as it ever was. So if you were running it on propane as an emergency generator, so you forget about it for a couple of years. As long as you have oil in the thing, you go out and start it right up, and it's going to run. That's what I was thinking about. Are you ready for the next question?
Not quite yet. I just want to make a comment. You're right. One thing about propane, though, you want to, and I don't know if it applies to natural gas, but I've seen this with propane, that anywhere where there's a propane aperture, the scent of the propane, residual scent of the propane, is very attractive to spiders. So you want to make sure that you cover that aperture to make sure that you don't have critters going in there and, you know, causing a problem with either getting it to burn or a big puff when you... when you start her up. Just one thing to think about. All right, what's your second question?
Okay. One of the things that we were thinking about, DXYL wants to walk on certain trails, and I've seen lots of advertisements for a vertical antenna, and the height seems to be 43 feet, because that seems to be the magic height where it doesn't have any wild impedances when you work the 6 HF band. The question is, would it be an easy, quick way to make that into a mobile rig on a motorhome, for instance? And, of course, you wouldn't be driving down the street with it. You would be parking lot, waiting for the XIL to walk 6 hours, and you want to pop it up. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, it's funny you should mention that. What I would do is I would consider one of those sections of what do you call it, masting. That's you can buy the military masting. I'd put an insulated, you know, butt underneath it, you know, of some sort, on maybe a hitch mount or something. Or some other thingy. If you have a motorhome, you could stand the thing up on a wooden block with a PVC base, and, you know, brace it fairly high, maybe as much as 9 or 10 feet in the air, to give it some stability. And on the very top of it, I would just use a conductive set of light gauge, you know, whips, even as small as a crappy pole. So what I might do is I might bolt to one section a crappy pole and of that aluminum masting with a piece of wire that's bolted to that top of the to the top of that piece of masting, and then just push up a bunch of pieces underneath it to get the magic 43 feet. Because a crappy pole, I think, are like 18. So you could probably go, you know, I think crappy poles are as long as 18 feet, if I remember right. So you could conceivably take a you know, a piece of wire on the crappy pole, and you know, maybe 25 feet or so of masting, that push-up masting, you know, four or five sections. And there you go. Here's your 43 feet, and it's relatively stable. You probably don't need to guy it at that point.
Funny you should mention those 16 four-foot sections of fiberglass military masts that I have sitting in my shed out there in those big canvas bags.
Well, I was recommending you see the aluminum ones that are the same type, but you could certainly run a wire up the side of a fiberglass one as well. There's no reason why not. Now, just for reference, where did I see this now? There's, on the current QST, which is amazingly June, there are two things that come to mind. The quick and dirty antenna support, which, you know, uses a Shakespeare clamp mount for home installation, but that could be done on a motorhome as well. And then, where else did I see it? The other one is page 44, a vehicle-mounted mast for field operations. Well, I mean, there's some concepts there that that would translate to a motorhome, but I would actually stand the mount on the ground and just secure it with two of the clamps so that it doesn't wobble off. And you're going to need to provide some radial, so, you know, wherever your bumper is where your radial field is going to be.
Well, I was thinking with the fiberglass, when I was in a campground, for instance, I could get out in the corner someplace, I could put up 35 or 40 foot of that massing, run a 450 ohm twin lead up to a pair of 100 foot wires coming off each side, and bingo, a multi-band antenna dipole inverted V.
Well, you could do that too. You could do that too, but you specifically asked about the 43 foot deal. Another thought besides a crappy pole would be to use your fiberglass mast in conjunction with one of poles that you use, extendable painter's poles. And just get a fiberglass one and screw it inside one section of the masting, the green masting that you have. And that way you can extend it up, get your antenna wire on the masting itself, and, you know, put like a piece of stranded number, insulated number 10 or something, on the push-up pole. In fact, if you're a little short on length, no problem. Just take 43 feet of the wire and just spin it around the extendable pole, and then just put those 4 foot sections underneath it until you get to the right height, and you're done. So, I mean, you know, it's very doable. You know, even if it's mechanically shorter than 43 feet, you can get very close to that, without having to kill yourself or having to worry about guying and such, all with fiberglass masting with the wire wrapped around it loosely. So it's just something to think about. Anybody have a thought about, let's say, taking a 43-foot vertical wire and linearly loading it around, let's say, 35 feet of masting? Anybody have any thoughts about that?
No, that would work fine. How are you going to feed it?
Ah, well, you feed it using, you know, an automatic antenna tuner, or if you're, you know, pretty much fixed on one band, with a coil at the base, make a little tuner and just feed it at the base, right? I mean, you know, there's lots and lots of circuits out there for feeding the ever popular 43 foot vertical mast with radials.
I got a comment on that.
Go ahead.
The motorhome is metal except for the fiberglass at the top. Were I to feed it through the fiberglass, I could put the tuner inside, put a piece of wire 6 inches straight out through the fiberglass, course, I'd have to have an insulator between the top section and the bottom section. Use the motorhome metal as the counterpoise. And, of course, I'm inside, not touching. I don't think there'd be too much RF inside. But then you'd have to have 43 feet from that point up and let the AutoZoner do all the work.
I can give you something better to think about. Put a 4-to-1 ballon at the feed point and then run coax inside to a conventional auto tuner and you're done. And, you know, okay, so your van has a metal body, so you could put it on a metal mast at the lower part, and the upper part could be fiberglass. In fact, the whole thing could be fiberglass. To whatever you're feeding, wherever you're putting that 4-to-1 balance, so that would work fine too. Again, just spread your radials out and you're done. In fact, I would have your radials on a series of banana jacks or something on a ground connection on the ground side of the balance. Jim, what do you think?
I think you need a 1-to-4-inch transformer. Basically a 4-to-1 ballon backwards. That's what the commercial version of that antenna uses to feed. And then, of course, it requires the tuner in addition to that matching circuit. But if you look at the one that's sold, it's, I think, 200-something bucks, that's exactly what they do. They use a 12-ohm feed point and step that up to 50 ohms. That way the tuner doesn't have to work too hard. Another alternative that works very well, Noel, is a simple off-center fed dipole, like the one we've been building and experimenting with. Make one for 40. It'll work, no problem, all the bands. If you're going to work 80 meters, well, then maybe you need one for 80. But are you going to really be working 80 meters out there mobile? So think about that. A 68 feet off-center fed that you can throw up in a tree might be something you might want to pack along with you.
Would that be coax fed or 450 ohm?
You could make it either way. You could put the balance up at the top, 4-to-1, and feed it with coax, or you could feed it with 300 ohm TV twin lead, which would be very nice and light. And put the ballon down at the bottom where the thing is being tuned.
Have a polymer 4-to-1 ballon that's made for, I don't know, 2 or 3 kilowatts. Fairly big chunk of metal. Nice little box. Bought it from an estate. I also have one for the antenna that would go up at the top. It would be for either offset center fit. Center fed dipole or a regular dipole. I have a 1-to-1 and a 4-to-1 that go up to the top. So I can do it either way. I like the idea of TV coax, though. The plain old 300 ohm coax.
Well, if you remember, that's exactly what we did on field day last year with the GOTA station.
So the thing is, if they come over and ask me what I was doing, I would be, that's my TV antenna up there.
Okay, very good. So we have some alternatives, okay? You've got some page references out of the June QSD as well.
Thank you, N2OEL.
You're welcome. By the way, your motorhome is very nice. A little tight for me, but very nice. Alrighty, let's see. Do we have any other questions or comments before I make some suggestions on some things here? Alrighty, well, anybody who was at the Farallon, presentation last Thursday on D-Star, might have noted that I was picking up a piece of equipment, which I did, and it had been pre-ordered. and so I'm now the proud owner of a D-Star IC80 AD handy talkie with the GPS microphone and the programming cable, and the data cable is coming tomorrow. So anyway, worked out really, really well. I'm on D-Star. I'm able to make cues. There's a couple of D-Star repeaters outside the immediate county area, some in Morris, some in Sussex, one in New York, one in Essex. And there's one way down in Somerset, which is a little tough to hear. I can hear it just fine. I just can't get in it. But anyway, it certainly met my initial expectations, and I'm pretty psyched. So I made a further effort and investment to procure a D-Star hot point, hot spot. So I've converted one of my DR-135 2-meter radios to be a D-Star hotspot, which is basically a repeater on in a half duplex mode. But it's connected through a network, an IP network, to a reflector, so you'll be able to go in and work other stations, and when they transmit, it will come out. And there will be all over the region, if not the country, where he is a reflector 20, I forget which letter, but reflector 20, I think, is going to be very, very lively and very exciting. And we're going to probably have one on 440 as well, not too distant future, but it'll be a couple more days, and I'm hoping to have it demonstrable for Saturday if everything works out right. If not, I'll have my handy talkie there and set up on a D-Star simplex frequency, and maybe some other guys who have D-Star will be there. Gene, WB2HID, bought Tony's radio because he had never really gotten interested in doing it. We drop it. And, you know, I've given this a lot of thought because, it's not something that I saw as yet another reason to work a complicated form of FM. So there are a couple of technical reasons why I jumped into it. One is the ability to send data and voice simultaneously, which I'll be set up for by tomorrow. Another is that I wanted to have something to do with what they call DPRS, which is the D-Star equivalent of APRS, and present on the same maps, and it's interoperable. Another is, frankly, it uses a narrower bandwidth than FM, and there's actually a performance improvement for the narrower bandwidth. I wanted to use it for MCOM type things. When you wanted to do field tracking, as well as also for sending data, and we're working on providing more hotspots and repeaters, which are going to be tricky, but we'll get that done. The narrower bandwidth allows us to slide these things into a couple of different spots where you might not otherwise think you could have room. So can probably be wedged between existing repeaters, and as long as the repeaters are not really, really local to you, they're users, and you will not have any mutual interference, which is fine. Let's see what else. For the price of a typical dual band FM mobile rig, you probably add another $100 or so, and get an ICOM 880, which is their latest FM mobile rig, and works pretty well. I had the choice of the 92 and the 80 handy talkie, and similarly there's the 2820, which is what Gene has, versus the newer 880. There's some conveniences built into the newer product, and there's also the fact that I wasn't really interested in buying into something that was a captive market, but now there are things like TV dongles which produce the D-Star audio stream, digital audio stream on the internet, and you can come out onto D-Star networks all over the world. So that's sort of like using Echo Link, except for in the D-Star mode. And there's also these hotspots which make implementation of RF solutions a lot cheaper. So we're going to go forward with that and see where it takes us. But a couple of people have already come to me and said they're going to, look at purchasing equipment in the not too distant future. So we'll have some D-Star conversations as well as FM and such. Very, very cool. But the internet reflectors that the United States operators have largely put together have kind of expanded the original networking concept that the JARL and NICOM had in mind, and that's what kind of sold me on the extensibility of the game, as it were. So anybody have any questions, please call K2BAR. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. What I'll do on Saturday is I'll make sure I bring my HD with me, and people can see it. It works, by the way, on FM as well, and that's just fine. It works very, very well, actually, without any troubles at all. So I was pretty happy with it when it. Signal here, but anyway, or feedback. But anyway, it's really, really nice to have, and while the handy talkie solution is a little pricey for what you get, the mobile solution is just a little more above a current price point. Look at it as a fancier dual band radio. If you have a fancier dual band radio, you're probably going to pay an equivalent amount. Or very close to it, I think, for a mobile. I might consider that in the future, but right now I figured job one was just to meet my operational requirements, as I outlined before. So are there any other questions, comments on this subject or any others for the net before we move on to something else? This is K2BAR. Alrighty, here's my microphone again, or my feedback mechanism, sorry about that. Alrighty, well, if there's nothing else, I want to thank everybody for a lively net tonight. We'll see you on Saturday morning. I have to leave probably by about 9:15, 9:30, because I have a tour of the USS Iwo Jima, LHD-7, or is it LHA-7? I should know better. Anyway, LHA-7, pardon me, which is a fine ship and a helicopter assault ship with, a complement of about 1,500 Marines and the ability to launch LCATs, Harriers, and helicopters. So, neat little toy for projecting sovereign U.S. territory elsewhere in the world. Anyway, 7-3, everybody, and have a great night. This is K2BAR, thanking the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of their repeater, and looking forward to seeing everybody on Saturday. This is W2TTT off and clear, standing by. 7-3.
WB to WPQ.
Howdy doody. I saw you call before, but I didn't see it until after the net started. How are you?
Been running around like crazy. And I forgot that the net was on tonight. Tony reminded me, but I was heading for food shopping. So that completed my day. I've been listening, but I didn't want to jump in because the I had to go turn the other radio on so I could do the cross band.
You're accessing from 440? Sorry, are you accessing from 440? sound pretty good. WBTWPQ, WU2TTT.
Yeah, I left work early today to pick up my daughter, but, you know, she thought she was going to leave at 4-ish, so we went over there, we waited, and she wasn't feeling good, so we said, listen, just stay here, rest a couple more hours, we'll go home, we'll come back later. So I had to make 2 trips over to the hospital to pick her up. And then from there, you know, run here. Never a dull moment.
No, Rich. It's never a dull moment. Absolutely not. Let me drop the other audio. Hold on. Yeah, okay. Anyway. So, it seems to be surgery day. James had surgery on his shoulder today to repair some torn ligaments. And that went very, very well. So he's in good shape, too. So, all is well, to say the least. He's off tomorrow. He'll recover the rest of the weekend. He's back on work on Tuesday. Is that what your daughter's doing, or does she have something more pronounced that's going to take a little more time to heal up on?
I can't answer that question. Only she can. It's women-related only. So, and she was in great pain. So, they had to call the doctor back and he prescribed some stuff. I dropped it off at the pharmacist, and she'll pick it up tomorrow. Or my wife will pick it up tomorrow. And we'll see how it goes. You know, she's taking the weekend off to recoup, and she'll be back to work on Tuesday. The surgery was done in the same place she works at, so if you don't chew anybody out, she could chew them out on Tuesday.
Oh, my. Alright, so how's the audio sound on the handy talkie?
Okay, but I've heard you better. Maybe it's just because I'm doing the crossband, you know, tends to change things a bit.
Alright, well, this is my handy talkie, and, you know, I'll give you some chatter with this. I'm gonna try something else, hold on. This is my other radio, just kind of curious which one you like sounding better. I've got no background feedback or anything because I've turned all the other radios off, so the only, you know, it's basically this is what it is. So, do you like the first one? Do you like the second one better?
Go back to the first one.
Sure, I can do that. This is the first one. We give you a little more chatter than we did the first time, so this is pretty much it. WBTWPQ, W2TTT.
WB2WPQ. I like the second one better. It's clearer. Unless this one is too sensitive and you've got to back off a little bit.
Well, that could be. I don't know the mic characteristics real well, so I'll do that first one again, but I'm not quite close talking the mic as much.
Well, you damn sure don't sound like Milton Berle. You sound okay. It's just that one is got a little more clarity to it. That was the second one. Anywho, I'm not going to stay in here long because I'm slowly fading, and I got to go to work tomorrow.
Yeah, I still have to get up at 5 in the morning to get number 2 son up for work. So this is option number 3. I'm just kind of curious if you like option number 3 as much as number 2.
They're very close. They really are. So it's 2 and 3.
Okay, this is a handy talkie without... option 3 is a handy talkie without a speaker mic. Option 2 is my ICOM 2200 mobile rig, which is a FM rig. Which, by the way, you can upgrade to D-Star, but you don't want to for a whole lot of reasons. And then option 1 was the handy talkie speaker mic. So, alrighty. Well, I hope your daughter feels better. James clearly feels better. He's off at an ambulance corps gathering for the evening, so after sleeping most of the day, not requiring any more pain pills, so I guess that's good. And as far as fading goes, I am totally there with you, buddy. So I'm going to you know, hang in here for a couple of minutes, and then I think I'm going to call square two. WP2 WPQ. We'll catch up. W2 TTT.